Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today takes us into a new level of learning in the Ketzer. We're at Mem Zayin, the 47th chapter, in which we're going to deal with wine of non-Jews. We are going to look at this from the perspective of from four concepts, and that is benefit from the wine of non-Jews, types of wines, types of problematic contact, and containers from Stam Yenom. Let's just understand the basic concept over here. The first point to be aware of is the Torah prohibits any wine which was used by idolaters, by pagans in their services. This in halacha is called Yayin Nesech. You're not allowed to eat it or benefit from it. The rabbis extended this prohibition to include any wine of non-Jews, even wine which Jews had, which was touched or moved by non-Jews. This is called in halacha stam yenon. They're default wines which are not allowed to use. This is again a barrier for chasnas, for social interaction. A lot of social interaction happens around alcohol, and this is one of the major barriers which prevents this level of fraternization. And yes, it is difficult. So let's look at the first basic concept, and that is benefit from stam yenom. Is one allowed to use yayin nesech for eating or benefit? The answer is one's not allowed to benefit or eat from pagan used wine. But what about stam yenom? Their default wine, not used by any ceremonies, just owned by a non-Jew, touched by or moved by a non-Jew. Am I allowed to eat or benefit from it? I'm not allowed to consume it, but I am allowed to benefit from it as well. So for instance, it can be used to settle a debt. Can one trade in non-kosher wine or non-Jewish wine? The Ketzer says technically yes, but it's the best idea to be machmir not to as well. Can it be used for its therapeutic properties, not for consumption? The Ketzer said yes, but for an ill person. Sometimes they'd use these at the Beit HaMeis HaMerchatz, at certain spas, they would use wine. And so non-Jewish wine would be able to be used for that benefit as well in a case of a chole. Second concept is what types of wine are affected by this concept of being in stam yenom. What are included? So first of all, is there a mechanism to alleviate this? So is there anything which I can do to alleviate this? The answer is yes, if the wine is cooked to the degree that some of its volume now evaporates, that's called yayin mevushal, and that would be allowed to be handled, touched, moved by a non-Jew, if it's certified as kosher and it is mevushal as well, which is why, generally speaking, most caterers have a policy of only mevushal wine. If you look at the most wines that go around today, kosher wines, if you look on the container, it usually says mevushal. That means it was cooked, and therefore there's no concern of a non-Jewish waiter, as an example, serving that wine. What about wine where vermouth was added? So vermouth is a type of aromatic flavoring, which helps enhance the color and the flavor. So the Ketzer says that is still considered wine unless it is mevushal and it is a problem. What if I have a recipe which has wine in it? So it calls for a little bit of wine, a quarter of a cup of wine, but I can't see or notice that wine, so there's no problem. A non-Jew can handle that dish and it does not become a problem of stam yenom. What about diluted wine? So diluted wine is fine as long as there's a 1-6 ratio, 1 wine to 6 water, then it's fine for a non-Jew to handle that as well. What about raisin wine? So that's when I take raisins and I make them into wine. That is considered like full wine as well. What about temed, which he is understanding an alcoholic drink made from the mixture of wine and sediment? So it says the Ketzer that is considered like wine and is still a problem of being touched and handled by non-Jews, unless it's mevushal. What about wine vinegar from kosher wine? So if it is strong enough that, let's say when I pour it, it bubbles when I pour it, that's considered that as if it's fermented sufficiently no longer to be wine and is no longer susceptible to stam yenom. What is if I have stam yenom? So let's say a non-Jew touches kosher wine, it becomes stam yenom, and now we make it into wine vinegar. Is that all right? The answer is no. Once it becomes osur, you can't use its byproduct as well. What about brandy? What about brandy made from stam yenom? So I have wine which has become osur because a non-Jew was involved with it, and now it is, I use it to make brandy. The answer, in that case, it is like the wine and is osur. What happens if I make brandy from kosher wine? Then it is no longer a problem with stam yenom. Paskins the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch as well. What about tartar? This is a deposit of impure potassium hydrogen. which is formed during the fermentation of wine. It's sometimes added to blended whiskies. So in this case, as a ketzer, it is allowed to be used. But Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it's best for individuals to be machmir not to use such a thing. We look at our third concept. What are the types of problematic contact of a non-Jew and the wine? So we know that if they move it or if they touch it, it's a problem. But when is it considered wine? At what point in time does it turn from grape to wine? Says the Kitzur, at the point when a person has squeezed the wine into the vat and it has flowed from the vat. Once it starts flowing, that's a problem as well. What about vats in the hands of a non-Jew? So that's a problem because it could have been that there was a flow when it was not under observation and therefore handled by a non-Jew, it becomes a problem of stam yenom. What about a non-Jew pressing the wine? So this is best to avoid because once it starts flowing, then anything he touches is going to be a problem. Anything connected to what he's touching, and even if the vat is plugged, it's going to lead to problems as well. What about just removing the byproducts like the skin? So let's say the wine has been squashed by a Jew, it's been pressed by a Jew, and all the non-Jew is doing is cleaning the vat, so it's still a problem because there still might be a little bit of wine left and you may end up squeezing that into the rest of the wine, and that is a problem as well. What about if the non-Jew was pouring water into the wine? Is that a problem? So if his intent is to dilute it, it is a problem because a lot of times when you dilute wine, what you do is you also stir it. Stirring it is moving and touching it. That's a problem. But if it's just to add a little bit of wine without the intention of dilution, it is fine. He's not touched the wine. What if he's wearing gloves? That is still a problem. So it doesn't help that the waiter is wearing gloves. What happens if they were stirring it with a stick so it's not direct contact? This needs a she'elas chacham. That means to say you need to ask a she'ela in the b'dieved situation that this happened. What about sending sealed wine with a non-Jew? So this needs two seals to avoid contact. This becomes an interesting question. There's this thing called a coravin today, which is a type of device which inserts a needle and it pumps a gas into the wine, which pushes the wine out through another hole. You pull it out and the cork remains intact. So you don't have to open the bottle as well, so it keeps the freshness of the wine. If you have that in the house, that's a problem because then that's a seal which essentially can be accessed by anybody. Nobody really has a way of knowing if, in fact, it was poured or touched or handled by a non-Jew as well. So that would then make render the seals useless. What about a Jew who works for a non-Jew? So the non-Jew owns the company producing wine, but the Jew is producing a particular line of product. Is that a problem? So the Kitzur says it might be even more problematic because the two seals might not work because who's the one who has the seals? Who's the one producing the seals? Is the non-Jew. So the seals are meaningless in this particular situation. Finally, last concept is containers with stam yenom. So let's say that I have a container of wine and it was touched by a non-Jew. Does that affect the container? Does it make the container treif? So let's start. If we have a transition container, so let's say it's poured into a jug and that jug is used to pour it into the bottle. A funnel as an example, so it's not there long term. Does it create an issue? So it needs to be cleaned three times and we are set. What about if what if they are sealed? So let's say that container that's being used for transfer is sealed. So it's a problem because if it was sealed with pitch is absorptive and therefore maybe more complicated to kasher. What if we're dealing with not a transition vessel, but a vessel which is used to hold it for a number of days? How do I kasher those? So the machmirim say, because kavosh kemevushal, if you leave something to soak for more than 24 hours, it's like you cooked it in it, that would mean that container would really need hagala, which means a full boiling water, hot water, and a whole business. However, there are meikilim. There are those who are more lenient who say that you can have what's called milui ve'irui gimel pa'amim, which means you fill it up with water. Once it's clean, you fill it up with water for 24 hours, pour it out. Then another 24 hours, another set of water. And then another 24 hours, another set of water, and it should be fine. The Kitzur said it is best to be machmir unless necessary. What about glass containers? So the Kitzur says glass containers don't absorb as much, and therefore there's not a problem. One can just wash them out three times. What if it was a regular vessel and the wine was poured out, but then the non-Jew touches it while there's still a little bit of residue on that vessel? What do I do in that case? So in that case, it can just be cleaned three times. What if there was heat involved in this whole business? Then it needs real hagala because if there was heat involved, then there's a concern of absorption into the walls. What about the utensils of a wine press? They aren't having 24-hour storage of the wine. Says the Kitzur, you need to ask a shayla because we're more machmir because they're handling the wine all the time. And finally, what if it was used for cold contact And then it came in contact with Stam Yainam, but they were not kashered. Does time help? So let's say I was using it in cold context. I did not have heat. It was touched by a non-Jew. And now I just put that container aside, forgot about it on the mantelpiece, and now it's 12 months later. Is there an issue? Says the Kitzur that it after 12 months, we're not concerned anymore. We assume the wine has evaporated and it does not need to be kashered in this case if there was no heat involved at all. With this, we concluded the very important topic, which most people are not aware of, which is the notion of stam yenam, of non-Jewish wine. Have a wonderful meeting.